Hello and welcome to the Greenfield Baptist Sermons Podcast. Each week we will be uploading the focus scripture and sermon from Greenfield Baptist Church in Northeast Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us and enjoy.
Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunities you put in front of us to be able to come and worship. I thank you for the worship team this morning and the time and energy and effort to lead us into worship. What a blessing it is to be able to come and seek your face. What a beautiful morning you have given us. Lord, I ask that you'd quiet our hearts. It's been a week, Lord, for some a victorious week, for some a difficult week. And yet, Lord, we come all from different places and we come into this worship, this opportunity to hear your voice. So, Lord, I ask that you'd quiet our hearts this morning. That we would hear your words through your word. That it would be powerful because you are a powerful and mighty God. And that you love us so. Help us to seek your face. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we are in Acts chapter 12. The last verse of Acts chapter 12 and three verses of Acts chapter 13. It says, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manine, who had been brought up with Herod and Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed on from there to Cyprus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word as we continue this morning, seeing as soon as you put in front of us. Lord, we thank you in advance for Holy Week and for the opportunity to reflect on what was a really tumultuous week. And Lord, it seemed to end very violently and traumatically, and yet Sunday morning you rose again. And you did turn the world upside down on its head. And so we're thankful for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be together, to share in your word, Lord, to be reminded of the way that you love us and care over us and what you desire for us in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you like to run, you can run. I don't care. I like to run, yeah. Hey, I don't know what he was jawing at me about, but he jawed at me and he left. Hey, maybe he wanted me to run. That's what he wanted. I knew it. I should just run out. I just should run out. I'm just going to leave. One of these days, I'm just going to run out. If I leave, Ken, you're in charge. So you better get a sermon. Let me know when you got a sermon ready. Fair. It's only two reasons to run. Going to get eaten by a bear or ice cream. That's the only two. Everything else seems ridiculous to me. I don't know. There's a few runners in this place, but. Bear has ice cream. That's an extra. So. Probably should get to the sermon instead of talking to Kenny. Well, today's Palm Sunday, and normally the sermon would be the story in Palm Sunday in Scripture. It's not today because we're going through the celebration of discipline. But I want to encourage you this week. If you want to talk about a week of wild, the week is just a wild week. We call it Holy Week, but there's a lot going on there. And I want to encourage you to get into your Bible and to really dig in a little bit and see what happens during this week, right? Because a lot goes on. This morning, a week from when Jesus would rise again, he walks, he goes in on a donkey, and there's a lot going on, and even in that piece, and they're cheering him on. But some 5 days later, right, they're jeering him and asking for his life. They're preparing to take his life. And so there's a lot going on in between that. And hopefully you got a palm. If you didn't, there's plenty out there. Grab one. Some people who are really cool can make crosses out of them. I once in a while get one in my office and on my desk afterwards. I don't know how to make them, so I didn't try to impale the young man next to me who tried to impale me first. So, and then I got yelled at, like my mom was here. She isn't here today. Yeah. Someone's mom yelled at me. Can you believe that? Ridiculous. So this morning we're going to talk about guidance. It happens to be the 11th discipline in the book. And we are in the corporate area of this book, which means a lot of times we talk about guidance in our own life and we use prayer and fasting, reading God's word and all those things. This one, I don't know about you, but this one was more interesting to me this week because I think it's one of the things we don't do very well here. And I'll shoulder that blame. I don't have a problem with that because I think there's only we can only go up, right? And so do we seek God as a group, as a corporate group of people and understand where he is taking us, where he is sending us, right? And so we do that a lot individually. We might do that one-on-one. We might do that in our family. But do we do that much corporately? Do we gather together and spend time seeking God as a group? We've become very independent people, have we not? We come and we meet on Sunday morning. And for a lot of you, I won't see you again till next Sunday morning. That's a different culturally than what was going on in the early church in Acts, which is where we're at. They lived life together. I don't know if I can handle all you guys all week. I guarantee you one thing: you can't handle me all week. Yeah, I know, Lauren. You ask my dogs; they will tell you. If I didn't feed them, they'd be gone. But the reality is, we don't do a lot of things together much anymore. We get in our little pod at home and we hang out with the two or three people in our house, maybe, or 2.3 people, right? Because that's exactly what's in our house. And we hang out with that small group of people. We might, and then we see a couple people at work, but the reality is, if we're lucky, we're not doing life corporately very much anywhere. And I think that plays a negative role in our lives. I think there's something to be said about being together in the same space, having to learn to live with new rules and having to learn to live like outside of what is always right for me. You know one thing about living alone? I always get to watch what I want on TV. Always. I just turn it on and the dogs have to deal with it. But the reality is this: there's something to be said about having to give in, about having to give a little bit, and about having to understand that my way is not the only way. And I think that's where this idea of corporate guidance, where we decide, make a decision. Think about this: if we all had to stay here until we've decided what the new carpet color was going to be, how long do you think it would take us? We're not leaving. Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a good chance we're not leaving, right? Because I can promise you that there's no way we'll get 100% consensus until you all start to starve to death, right? And people like me, it's going to be a while, right? But that's the reality. We're going to have a difficult time being willing to bend and to give and to move on things that are more important, less important, right? And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about having unity of the Spirit. And I think all too often in our church settings, it's why people jump. Sorry, I got a hair somewhere. It's driving me crazy. All too often in our church settings, in the way we live, we jump from church to church to church We jump in and out of ministries. We jump in and out of boards. We do all those things because it's like, I can't agree with you, so I'm out of there, right? And I think there's something to be said about being willing to bend. Jim King, I love Jim King. He's, if you've been in this church very long, you know who Jim is. Jim's a second service guy. Years ago in a deacon meeting, there was a discussion, and it wasn't something that Jim was all that excited about. And he's and this is what he said, and it's just, to me, it's wisdom. He said, you know what? I don't know that I'm there, but if God's there, I need to be there, right? And that was powerful to me because it was like, yeah, that's exactly how we need to do life. We need to begin to think about, is it really what Dan wants, or is it what is best for God's plan in life? Is the ministry pointed towards me or Brentley, or is the ministry pointed towards God? And I think all too often, we don't spend the time and energy to discern that in a group. And so I'm going to ask you some questions, since we have a little more time than normal. Where are we going? Where do you want to go as a church? Where's God leading as a church? Maybe you've not thought, I know, the pastor's supposed to have all that figured out, right? Let me see, I think I got it in my pocket. Oh, look, yeah, it's right there. That's where we're going. Let me look again. It does, free Dairy Queen, it says. 12:30, I don't get out till 12:30. Yeah, Lauren's in. I'd be willing to bet we could have corporate guidance at the Dairy Queen. I don't know about outside today, but tomorrow. It's supposed to be 60 tomorrow. So anybody wants to go have corporate guidance, we're going to Dairy Queen tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, me too. So where are we going as a church? Where's God directing our path? And I'm not asking you to have that answer, but I'm asking you to begin to think about things a little bit bigger than just yourself. Because I think that's what Foster's asking us to do. He's asking us to maybe step out of our shoes for a second and begin to look at the greater good for the ministry, the kingdom, right? If there's one thing that Dave Waldo did really well that I really appreciate learning from him, and if you don't know, he was the pastor here for like 19 years, and I started when he was here, is he had the kingdom mindset. It wasn't about stealing someone's sheep from someone else's church in the area. It was really working together for the kingdom, the greater good. Understanding that the gospel is way bigger than Greenfield Baptist Church. It's not about building our little fiefdom here. It's about building the kingdom of God overall. And if that meant we had to give somewhere to help another church to be involved or to be healthy or if we needed to work together with another church, I thought that was, I really think that's a great mindset to have in ministry. And not worrying so much about protecting our borders, but rather being able to be open and sharing the gospel, which is at the end of the day what we're all about, right? So where are we going? I want you to think about that for a second. Where are we going? Anybody? Anybody know where we're going? Heaven, yeah. Dairy Queen. Guess we're still. And here's the harder question. How do we get there? Right? Wouldn't it be great if the pastor had the answer this morning? That would be great. Well, guess what? I don't. Because that would mean I would be the one making the decision. And I'm not going to be the one making the decision. But I am going to challenge you to ask yourself the hard question. Where are we going and how do we get there? If we're going to go on vacation, what do? Pack our bags, yeah. But that's plan, yeah. Google Maps, right? My kids live and die by this crazy phone. I'm beginning to learn how to do that, too. Going through the middle of Atlanta, they're like, don't worry, Dad. Oh, there, you know. Every day we went through the middle of Atlanta, it was a different trail. I'm like, I think we're lost because this is not what we did yesterday. Oh, don't worry. It just rounded us around an accident, right? How do we get there? How do we get to where God would have us corporately, as a group, as a church, right? We have a vision. Anybody know what the mission statement for here is?
Be neighbors, make neighbors,
Can you get a gold star? Did you hear that? Be neighbors. Be neighbors. That might be the hardest one. Some of us struggle with our neighbors. Be neighbors. Make neighbors. What does that mean to make neighbors? There's always new people, yeah. I want to challenge you, if you've been in this church and you see someone you don't know, we have had new people almost every week for months. And I'm going to challenge you that if you leave this church without talking to someone you don't know, and if you're the new person, it's okay. They might inundate you. It's okay. They like you. The reality is this, though, that we were new too once, right? I walked into this church one time. The very first time I walked into this church, my wife and I walked into this church, and we walked in, and there was a couple in front of us, and they turned around, and they loved on us, and I said, you know what I said? I got home. I said, those people are paid by the church to be nice to people. I said it. I was so cynical. I said it. I know they're getting paid. Here's the funniest part. So I started, I'm not going to tell you who it was. That one will cost you. No, they're good. They're great people, actually. But here's the funny part. So I get, you know, so we start to come to church here and we start to meet people. And I quickly realize they didn't do any of that for anyone else week after week after week. It was like whatever reason they felt called or God had laid on their heart to be kind to us that morning. Because I was cynical. I'm like, I know that's what's going on here. And I never saw them like reach out to anyone else the whole time. But you know what? It made a difference. You know what made the other difference? You're going to laugh at this. You know what made the other difference? Warm brownies. I won't rat that guy out. But when he showed up with warm brownies and he said, you're the wrong Dan Cast, I said, okay, that's all right. It's warm brownies. I don't care. My wife said, any church that gives you warm brownies? There's something to be said there. But beginning to figure out, where are we going to go? How do we get there? How do we be welcoming and love on people that God has put in our path? Right? Because part of the struggle is we don't really know everybody. And then we have two services, and that makes it a little harder even more. That's why we have the one service at the end of the year. Every year, we usually between Christmas and New Year's, is really just designed to put everybody in the sanctuary at the same time to enjoy company, maybe people we wouldn't see normally. So I want to challenge you. How do we get there? Or where are we going and how do we get there? Right, this morning's scripture is an interesting scripture. It's just a short little piece. It's in the middle of Acts, and so these are what we would call missionaries now, right? People going out to share the gospel. And Barnabas and Saul, they finished the mission God had sent them on, and they're coming back. And so how do we begin to see where God is guiding us? How do we get there? And I think the first thing is we have to get together. It has to be something that draws us to the same space, to the same area, to be able to start to do life together. And if you don't know, doing life together is a little more hard than just hanging out with each other in church for an hour. This is easy, right? This is easy. Sing a few songs. Don't fall asleep. 9:30 comes, we go home, we do our life. These guys spent their days and nights together. And that was what happened. Barnabas and Saul fulfilled their mission and they go back home. They literally come back into the building. They come back for what reason? Why were they even together? They were there to share the gospel, right? And they come back to see where God was going to take them next, to see what God was going to do. But in order to do that, they had to literally be together, spend some time. And I want to challenge you. We don't break bread together all that often, right? There's a ministry in this church, Victoria Bartlett and Sue Bartlett run, where you can get hooked up with someone else in our church to break bread together, to hang out. It can be at your house. You can host it. You can just go, or you can go to dinner somewhere. But I want to challenge you to begin to build relationships within this church. I've said it 100 times. I'm going to say it again. If you don't connect with someone in the first 6 months of your church experience, a lot of times you're going to move on. You'll move on somewhere else where you might fit a little bit better. When that couple met us the week one and then the brownies showed up, that was a win, right? I think 2 weeks later, we're in Easter, and then the rest is history. On Friday night, I was out to Seneca's musical, and there's a young lady that wasn't even born when I showed up here first. And Mariah Bartlett, she rocked it on Friday. And there was a lot of emotion, because I thought about all those years of making those connects, of being involved and taking a chance. And I want to challenge you to build relationships, to begin to break bread. Right? We use that term pretty loosely. Right? But breaking bread, we think about breaking bread, we think about Jesus sitting at the table, breaking bread. Right? We use that term for that. And I want to talk just a minute about what's going to happen next Sunday, because I'm going to ask you to do something maybe a little bit out of the comfort. I'm going to ask you to stay for breakfast next Sunday. I'm going to ask you that when we're going to try to finish up a little bit early for Donnie's sanity. Right, Donnie? He's getting a little older. He just had another birthday, and so we want to protect his sanity. So we're going to try to be done at 10 to 9 next week. There's not going to be a receiving line. I'm not going there. And I'm going to ask you not to stop. I'm going to ask you to go when we're going to dismiss. And I'm giving you a heads up so that you know why we're doing what we're doing. You'll fight less that way, right? The plan is at 9 o'clock to break bread and have communion in the gym, one big congregation. And we want to do that, and it's going to be a little bit challenging because logistically it's challenging. I'm stretching Donnie, I think, a little bit, because I'm asking him to do something different than we've ever done. And yet I think there's some value, a lot of value, in taking the time corporately to break bread together. There'll be juice at your table. There'll be bread at your table. And we're going to break bread. And it's not going to be long. It's not going to be drawn out. I'm not going to let Brentley talk too much. Where's he at? I'm picking on him. Sorry, Brentley. Some of those preachers, you know, they talk a lot. But here's the thing. I'm going to ask you to go find a seat. I know you want to sit next to your friends. Don't sit next to me, because that'd probably be bad. But I want you to go find a seat, sit down. I'm going to ask you that we can do that pretty quickly and sit down and we can take communion together. We do know there are going to be some logistical challenges. Little kids, by its very nature, it's going to be challenging in that way. And yet I think there's some value, a lot of value actually, in breaking bread together on Resurrection Sunday. And I think we'll get a sense of that corporate piece next week when we do that. And so I'll remind you next week when we're finishing up Easter morning to just go and find a seat, grab a seat real quick, and we will break bread. The plan is hopefully 10 to 15 minutes so we can, I promise you one thing, you won't starve to death. I promise. The food's going to be just as good as ever, right, Donnie? Maybe even better. Probably even better. I think, yes. Yeah, the eggs will be greener. Yes, absolutely. Can't wait. Green eggs and ham. That's right. We're having green. And as we take that, I will remind you next week that there's an opportunity for us to commune together and to seek God together as a congregation. So be there. And if you were thinking, well, I need to get home and do my thing, maybe you just hang out for communion. And then I'll ask you to stay for breakfast. Come hang out with us and let's take communion together. If you want to find guidance in God's plan, seek him. Right? It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, we're not going to be fasting. Maybe you can fast up until that time. How's that? And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Wouldn't that be so cool if we got a text that said, hey, here's the plan, right? Oh, look, I got a text that says I'm going on a mission. God just sent it. They gathered together and they went to seek God. They would seek God together as a group. I want to challenge you to be more intentional and to live more on purpose. I want to challenge you to think about what that means. See, all too often, I think we're just running through life thinking, if I can just get this paid off, if I can just do this, if I can just get to retirement. And we miss all the things that God has put in front of us all along that journey. We're so worked up and worried about what's going to happen next. How do I do this? How do I pay this off? What's for supper? Right? When we do the Martha thing, no offense, Martha. We do the Martha thing, though, right? We get so worked up about all these things and we miss the journey that God has made for us. And I want to challenge you to step back long enough, to take a deep enough breath, to begin to understand that God has a plan and he's already laid that out. Be intentional about seeking him in that plan. These guys came back from mission on their mission, right? Barnabas and Saul. And nowadays, we would be like, yep, did my mission trip for my life, right? Got my mission trip out. Now I can go do my thing. These guys got back into the church, got back in with their group, and they're like, all right, God, what's next? Where are we going next? What are you going to put in front of us next? I think we believe that if we do one thing for God, we can do 10 things for ourselves. Well, we wouldn't say that because that would not be a good Christian thing to say. But we live that way. As long as I do what God, I do one thing for God, I'm good. You know, I got my one thing in this year. I'm going to go do my own thing now. That's not really living a life where God is leading the way. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit indwelling in your life. And he can and will direct the path if you will let him. I want to share with this scripture out of Romans. It says, and he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. Do you see what it doesn't say? It doesn't say according to the will of Dan. Ugh. I wish it did. If you're a believer in Christ, if you have made that commitment, you have the Holy Spirit in you already. You have all the tools. It's legitimately seeking him to find out what his plan is for your life. And that might mean going a different direction than you planned. We know what happens when you go the wrong direction, right? Old Testament guy, we're going to do VBS about. Good old Jonah, right? We know what happens when we go the wrong way. And yet, sometimes we get hung up in going the wrong way. And doing what we want over what God wants. Let me challenge you to seek God in one of those decisions in your life. And once you've gotten together and you have been seeking God and he's given a direction, guess what? It's time to go. Prepare to go. Prepare to step out and do what God has put in front of you. You don't know how many times people go through the first two and don't ever get to the third. They'll get together. They love the idea of God moving in their life. They'll even seek his face. They'll even look for direction in his in our lives to see where God is going to take us. And then we get scared. We get scared because this is out of my comfort zone. This is not what I wanted to do. We're about to come on April 1st. That's the ominous day I turned in my resume for this youth pastor position here some 14 years ago. And I smile and laugh because I realize how close I was to not turning that resume in. I realize how scared I was to take that step. I didn't even know that I didn't know how much my life would change and how much God would bless my life in all of that. And yet, I almost didn't do it. And I don't know if it was coincidence or God's just messing with me, God's timing, whatever, but it was April 1st was the last day to turn it in. And I thought, well, I can be a fool. Fine, I'll turn the stupid thing in. And God's turned that my life upside down because of that. And I can distinctly remember walking through that process, and it was gut-wrenching. And when it finally got to the part where they're like, hey, they're gonna bring you in for the weekend and call you, you know, and vote on this, and that was terrifying. And then it was like, oh, now you need to make a decision, right? Okay, they voted positively. I don't remember what the numbers were. They voted positively. Now you have to make a decision. And the coolest part was that at that point, I didn't have to make a decision. That decision was already made for me. It was like God had directed the path all the way to that point. It didn't even matter that my salary was almost cut in half. Didn't even matter. It was like the last thing on my mind. Just didn't even cross. It was like, man, whatevs. At this point, I'm not turning back now. And God's overly blessed in that, all of that. He's good. He does. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You got it. Yeah, I've kicked and screamed and worked 1,000,000 hours, and I'm way better place now than ever. Not that finances are finances or whatever. Like I always say, they'll make more. They print it every day. But I want to. So the struggle is, will I be willing to go when God sets it all up? And I know where I'm headed. Will I go? Because that's what happens in this story, right? The two of them, once they got the message, they knew where they were headed. They took off. They just went. God's calling you to something, and it may not be to get on a boat and go to Cyprus, okay? It may not be even leaving the state. If God's calling you to something, prepare to go. I put this picture up because we are planning, we're waiting. I just talked to Jim Bartley on Saturday. We're going to Kentucky this year, hopefully twice. The plan is twice. It's being pushed back because of the state of Kentucky's building a road, but that doesn't mean we're not going. We're planning on going with Samaritan's Purse, and we have three missionaries, Jim Bartley and Lori and Mike Kelly, who are serving down there on that team in Kentucky. And I want the next trip to be to go encourage them, to spend the week for them, and we're going. And I have a list, and all you have to do is say, hey, I have an interest. I'll grab my phone, I'll put you on my list, and when we get some dates, all I'm going to do is go back over that list from top to the bottom, and I'm going to say, hey, are you interested? Are you interested? Are you interested? Are you? Some people are going to be like, nope, I'm on vacation that week, whatever, right? But I want to begin for you to begin to think about, would I give up a week of my life to go and do something that God has put on my heart? Maybe it's an opportunity to serve locally. Maybe it's an opportunity to serve on Wednesday night. Do you guys realize, I'm going to say it, Brentley said it a bunch. Do you guys realize there's over 50 kids showing up? That's a chunk of kids. It's chaos. If you even think you might like kids, or maybe that you can stand kids. How's that? They need help. They need help. We are looking for someone. We want to start one more ministry on Wednesday night. And I didn't have this plan. This is not on my thing, but I think it's important. God must have thought it was important too. We're looking for someone on Wednesday night who would be willing to lead a small group. Not a Bible study, right? That's what we want to not call it, right, Brantley? Not, just to get together. We have all these parents who are showing up on Wednesday night who do not come to this church, who are not involved in this church in any way, shape, or form. And they show up on Wednesday night, they drop off their kids, they have to sign them in and sign them out. They literally drop their kids off and go home, and an hour later they're back. And they've been hanging around. Because it's almost easier to stay than it is to go home. I don't know where their faith is at all. But wouldn't it be nice to have a place to just go and sit down and be able to just talk about the week? Maybe share a verse. Maybe just hang out and begin to seek out why they're here. Why God has put the... I don't think it's a coincidence at all that these people come in every week. If I stand out here, I'll meet people every week coming in and out. They bring their kids in and out. But you know what? We can't offer that. And I'm going to tell you why we can't offer it. We don't have anybody to do it. Now listen, if you do 10 other things in this church, I am asking you to not talk to me. But if God's put it on your heart to be involved in something, to be... dealing with seekers, if you really like, if you're like pleasant and like to be with people and want to, and are open and accommodating, I want to encourage you to pray about that. See, because I believe, well, I don't even have to believe, the scriptures tell us that we have everything we need here. One of you guys is a toe, right? One of you is a finger, one of you is an ear, somebody's a nose. Oof. Some of you is an eyeball. God's given us everyone we need to do the things we need. But we need more help. We need more help in these areas. And we're not asking for you to commit for the next 10 years. What we're asking for you is to take a chance, to come hang out and check it out, to come love on kids who need loved. Yes, are there some kids that are a little bit rowdy there? Absolutely. Are there some kids that are hard to love? Yes, I bet there are. When I was in youth ministry, I said those are the kids we got the hardest ones to love are the ones we need to love the most. They're just responding to where life has been. We have a bunch of faithful people who have been coming Wednesday night in and out, and leading that group. I'm so thankful for Brentley and the group. I'm not going to name names because I'll miss one. But there's a group of people who in our church who have been faithful to take from little guys all the way up. It's exciting. If you don't know, Brentley, what is it, about a third? Not church people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want you to understand. That's what I want you to hear. At least a third of those kids.
Two-thirds?
So we'll just say half. All right, we're going to cut it in half. Let's just say half. Half of the kids who come on Wednesday night, that is their church. Church just happens to be on Wednesday and not on Sunday. And just because you don't come on Wednesday doesn't mean church doesn't go on Wednesday. That was a dig. Did you feel that? come take a chance. See Brentley. There's a few little things we have to get done if you're going to do that, but it's not a major deal. And I'll tell you, you can talk to any of the leaders and ask them why they're involved, because they love to serve God in that way. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people who continue week in and week out to come and minister to those kids. You can be a part of that. And don't tell me that you're too old. I don't want to hear it. Tell that to someone else. We all have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus if we choose. If we choose. Mark 8:34, do you know what that says? Let me read it to you. Be better than trying to give you Dan's version. Be better if I actually marked it. That would have been great. Maybe for next service. Mark 8:34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Red letters, Jesus. Listen, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, you have to deny yourself. Deny your plan and follow God's plan. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love and care. Thank you for Saul and Barnabas, Lord, for this great example of what seeking you and everything in our lives would look like. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for us, the care that you have for us, and Lord, probably most of all, for the plan that you've put in front of us. We're not just wandering people. You have built a plan, a direction. And so, Lord, I don't know what that looks like for each one of us, but I do know this. You do. Lord, for anyone who doesn't invited Jesus to be a part of their life, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit at this point, Lord, I ask this morning that you would draw them close to you. Open their eyes. Lord, during the communion or during the offering, that we would have an opportunity to pray together. Lord, quiet their hearts that they would hear your voice this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.